Hello, fellow hockey fans. This is Jordan Johnson coming at you with another episode of Hockey Talk. We got a lot of stuff to talk about this week. There's a few injuries, a few trades, and some signings. So we'll get right into it. So first thing I wanted to talk about is Broussard's hit on Vatanen, which happened last week before he was traded. He got 5 minutes in a game misconduct, and what I wanted to do is kind of look into what people's opinions, if that was enough for the hit. If anybody hasn't seen the hit, I'll link that in the description below, and you can check that out. I think the general consensus of what everyone has been saying online is that 5 minutes in the game was enough. Me personally, I don't agree with that. And this is why I don't agree with that. Because if you actually watch the replay, when he makes the play in the corner and turns around, he actually makes direct eye contact with Vatanen. And then not only does he load his shoulder into the hit, but he loads it right through his head. There was no attempt to try and avoid hitting his head. It was directly targeted for his head, and you could totally tell. I don't know if that was just the way I looked at it, but if you disagree, please leave me in the comments below why you would think that. But I can clearly you can clearly tell from the replay that he had loaded his shoulder. He made eye contact. There was enough time in between him delivering the hit to decide to not make that hit. So, in my opinion, he should have gotten at least a game suspension and a $5,000 fine, at the very minimum. But again, the general consensus on everything was that, from what I gathered from people on the internet, was that was enough, the game misconduct. Then we'll go into Richie's hit on Goligoski. That happened a few nights ago. This one was a hard one, and a lot of people were really irate about this one, but if you actually watch the replay, this one is hard to call. If Goligoski kept his footing, the hit probably wouldn't have been called. The hitting from behind, it would have probably been more of a boarding, because he would have been able to brace himself more for the hit. I mean, he still would have easily got a penalty for it, but I don't think that it would have been to the severity it was. But if you watch the replay, he loses his footing, and on the way down, Richie drives him into the boards. So it actually makes it look worse than I feel like it actually would have been if he had have kept his footing. So I think that the game misconduct is an appropriate call, because he did have his hands on his back. I mean, either way, it would have been a penalty one way or another. I just don't think it would have been as bad if it wasn't for Goligoski falling. And another thing that came up in headlines this week kind of intrigued me a little bit was Brent Seabrook's little bit of fake news, I think. I haven't really actually determined what was going on. I didn't see the segment that Hockey Night in Canada did reported on on Saturday, I think it was. Well, Hockey Night in Canada's segment said on Saturday was that Chicago had asked Seabrook to waive his no-trade clause. And then when Seabrook was confronted about it, when he was approached by the media about it, he said that it never happened. He said he has no recollection of this ever happening. But then when, after he had said that, they went to Elliot Friedman from Sportsnet on Monday, reported, he said, quote, "I understand at least once this season there was a conversation between team, player, and agent, and his future in Chicago. That is all I can really say. At some point this season, it happened." So, did this actually happen? Did this not? From what Seabrook is saying it didn't happen. You can only go from what the players, that he was the one who was there, so he would know. And honestly, if he doesn't want to talk about it, maybe they did discuss it, but then later on decided that that's not something they're going to pursue. Maybe he doesn't want to talk about that because he doesn't want Chicago fans to feel like, you know, they're trying to railroad him to off to another team or something. You never really know with those situations. So it'll be interesting to see what happens closer to trade deadline to see if he ends up waiving, but we'll see. And it's not, this one's not really a headline, but it's hard to not talk about it, and that's Carter Hart's performance in net for Philadelphia. He's been carrying that team on his shoulders for the past seven games. He's a seven game win streak right now. I think it's seven games. His last game that I saw anyways against the Canucks, he posted 41 saves against them, including an absolutely ridiculous save against Khudobin. Like, had no business making that save. Like, he robbed him blind. If he keeps this up, I definitely can see some positive things for the Flyers' future. It's always good to have a solid goaltender, especially a young solid goaltender. It'll be interesting more to see if he can keep it up. It's always, you know, there's always goalies that have breakout seasons that where they play really well, but then the next season they turn around and flop. So if he can keep up, you know, his productivity, and he might see Flyers making more of a push later on in, like, maybe not this, obviously not this season. I don't think that they're ready for that yet, but in future years, if he can keep playing the way he's playing, there's no doubt about it that Philadelphia can start making pushes in the playoffs for sure. So, little thing I thought I'd talk about, then not really a big headline, but and if you can, you guys can let me know your comments on that below. We'll move into injuries. That's all I really had for headlines this week. There's a few more, and if there's one that maybe you want me to talk about, you're more than welcome to let me know about that as well. But we'll go into injuries. There was two major ones that happened. The first one was Alex Edler was injured, and he was stretchered off. I watched the replay, and it was, like, really the most awkward injury. He was just trying to cover Voracek, and for some I can't really tell for sure, but it looked like his stick kind of got caught up in Voracek's equipment, and as he kind of went to turn away, I don't know if he just couldn't let go of his stick or what, but he twisted really awkwardly, and as he fell like face first on the ice, and like hard, like really really hard. Enough that he was bleeding. And I mean, this is big for Vancouver, because Alex Edler is a really solid defenseman, and they've been trying really really hard to make playoff push, and now I'm just like, is this gonna happen? Is this not gonna happen? Like, they're gonna need the players like Tanev, Gudbranson, and Biega to really step up and play some really solid defense, because, I mean, I think they only have some really young guys that they can call up, and I don't know if any of them are ready for this level. So it'll be interesting to see how the rest of the Vancouver season plays out in their back end. Mind you, Markstrom's been playing really, really good for them, and he's made some really key saves that have actually helped them win a lot of games. So, I mean, you might see him step up even more and cover for that loss. So there's a lot of, you know, it's scary for Vancouver to lose such a key part of their defensive core, but you never know what players can step up and make a difference in that area where they're lacking. The other one was Paul Byron. This one was really, really weird, because, like, I watched it over and over again trying to see how he, like, I don't know if he just jammed his wrist or something. What was reported was it was his forearm that got hurt. They didn't really give any more than that up until recently. I just actually got the update on my phone as before I was going to start this. It seemed like a seamlessly harmless play. He went to the corner with against defenseman Matt Benning, and Byron, like, instantly, as soon as he hit the boards, he dropped his gloves and he went right to the bench. And you know, at first you're like, what, you know, what's going on? And then you just see him leaving the ice, and as he's leaving the ice, he's like slamming the glass with his other hand, like with his, I think it was his right hand, was his good hand, but he was just smacking the glass really, really hard. And this automatically tells me that he obviously thinks that this is a really, really bad injury. Luckily, as the update, he was examined by medical staff and was determined that it wasn't, that he didn't have any fracturing or anything like that. So it's probably, if anything, it's just a really, really, like, deep tissue, like, bruising. I don't know. You know, and people are like, oh, you just got a bruise. Those, if you hit in the right areas, hurt really fucking badly. Like, really bad. Like, they hurt. And people think that, like, oh, just play it off. It's not that easy. It can sometimes really affect your game. So, if he needs to take a few days off to just, you know, not put any stress on it, then I think that's a good idea, and that's what they're doing. It's he's been listed as day-to-day. So, and that's all for injuries. Now I'll move on to trades, and there were some there was two, one really big one. On January 30th, New Jersey traded Michael Capela to the Wild in exchange for Ryan Murphy. Now Murphy has only played two games this season. He's gotten no points in his two games, and Capela hasn't appeared in a game yet this season. So this is obviously, I don't know what their AHL stats are. For all I know, like, they are two really potential players, so it could have worked out either way, but I can't really give enough information about what this does for them in the future, unfortunately. On February 1st, Florida Panthers traded Nick Bjugstad and Jared McCann to Pittsburgh in exchange for Derek Brassard, who I was talking about earlier, Riley Shahan, and a second round pick in 2019 and 2 4th round picks in 2019. So when I got the stats for each player here, and Nick Bjugstad has played in 34 games with 5 goals, 8 assists for a total of 13 points, and he's a plus 3 right now. So he hasn't done too much in the terms of production, scoring wise, but clearly when he's on the ice, he's a threat because he doesn't get scored against when he's on the ice very often. That's a good pickup for sure for Pittsburgh. It doesn't hurt to have somebody like that. And Jared McCann has played 48 games, 8 goals, 10 assists for a total of 18 points, but he's a minus 9. So he's had a bit of a tough start. I mean, he's generating some points, but I mean, when you have a minus 9, you clearly, I mean, there's areas obviously in your defensive game that you can maybe work on. Obviously, that's not always necessarily his fault, but just because he got a minus, just because he was on the ice, doesn't necessarily mean that it was an error on his part that he could have done any different. But that being said, so hopefully with a new team like Pittsburgh, who generally does pretty well, he'll be able to change his game in some way where he'll be able to fit in a role well with Pittsburgh. And he's very diversified player. He can play a lot of different types of games. So We'll see what happens with that. And Derek Brassard has played in 41 games with 9 goals and 7 assists for a total of 16 points, but he's a minus 5. Again, it's not necessarily his fault, but 16 points in, like, at this point in the season, it's not bad. He's got lots of time, like lots of games left to up that statistic, so we'll see what happens with that. And then Riley Sheahan has played in 50 games with 7 goals and 2 assists for a total of 9 points, and is at minus 8. And the minus 8 kind of, I don't know, minus 8 kind of nulls out the 9 points he's got. But I mean, he is young. He's 27, so he's still got a couple years before he hits his prime. So he's got years to develop and get better. And he's not a bad player by any means. So I mean, you know, it's not like the end of the world that his stats aren't where they probably should be at this point in the season. But he can work on that. So overall, like, who won this trade? And when you match it up stat for stat between the players, it's pretty even across the board. I mean, Bukestad obviously has been having better season than majority. But I kind of still have to give, because the players across the board, they're relatively the same. So I have to kind of give the win to Florida, because they did get a crucial second round pick for them for next season. Plus, they also grabbed 2 fourth round picks. And fourth round picks, obviously, that's really deep in the draft. And, you know, the potential of getting somebody who'd be ready right away is not, you know, won't be there. But they will have the opportunity to develop another player for the future. So I think I'd have to give it to Florida, but not by much. Not by much at all. Like, it was a pretty even trade. I think it would benefit both teams fairly well. So we'll move into signings now. Washington signed Phoenix Copley? I can never say his name right. Anyway, Washington signed him for a 3-year extension for $3.3 million. $1.1 million a year. His stats are 19 games played, 10-5-3, with a .903 save percentage and a 2.98 goals against average. Well, when you're posting numbers like that, how do you not sign him for a 3-year extension? I mean, he's posting pretty decent numbers. A 10-5-3 record for a backup goaltender who's played 19 games halfway through the season is pretty good. Pretty good numbers. And he's at, I mean, like, the .903 save percentage and a 2.98 goals against average. Like, that's, I mean, for $1.1 million a year, I don't see how you go wrong with making that deal. And honestly, if I was him, I'd probably be asking for more, considering I just won a cup with the team. So, I don't know. Everyone teach their own. He obviously likes playing there, or else he wouldn't have made the deal. So, good for him on his signing. And we'll move on into the standings. The standings are pretty well close to the same, if not the same as last week, actually. Not a whole lot happening. Not a lot of movement in between teams. It's still Tampa top of the Atlantic Division. And we still got New York Islanders on top of the Metropolitan, which still surprised the hell out of me. Good for them, though. They've been working really hard for that. Winnipeg. Go Jets, go. All day, we're going for it. There were certain headlines that came up that were talking about if the Jets would consider giving up their first round pick again this year for another solid player. If you don't remember, last year they gave up a first round pick, was for Stastny, and which really helped them actually in the playoffs. It's just too bad that we couldn't keep him. But again, would it hurt the Jets to give up another first round pick? Probably not. They have loads of young talent as it is. They do need solid veteran players that can guide the young talent to utilize all their skill. And I think that it wouldn't hurt the Jets to actually expand their horizons and think about trading that first round pick. We'll see as the stretch comes here with the trade deadline. I'm excited to see what deals are going to be made. And then obviously in the Pacific Division, can't talk today. Calgary is still up top, with San Jose and Vegas not too far. Anyways, that is it for this week for the podcast. If you like what you're hearing, you can just follow me on Anchor. I'll be doing this every Wednesday at 5 p.m. If you are more of a visual person, you can check me out on YouTube. I still cannot get a URL, unfortunately, right now, because I do not have enough viewers right now, but that's okay. I will post it in my Anchor app. And then I'm also currently on Spotify, Breaker, Stitcher, can't remember the other ones, Radio Public. So yeah, you can check me out on any of those if you happen to be on there. You just have to look up Hockey Talk. All right, thank you very much for listening, and I will be back next week.